in your Bible, Titus chapter number 2. And you know, if you want to use the Pew Bible, use that. It's there in front of you. We want you to be able to follow along with the message this morning and learn. We want to learn something here, and we want to let what we learn, we want to take it and then apply it to the details of our life. Do you know that's up to you to do that? You know, I can get up here and teach the Bible, but you've got to apply it to the details of your life. You know, I can't take it. I don't live with you. Aren't you glad? Wouldn't you hate for your preacher to live with you? Would that cramp your style a little bit if I live with you, you think? But no, I mean, I don't live with you, and I don't sit down, you know, with you when you watch TV, and I don't go to work with you, and I don't know what you deal with and what you... You have to take God's Word and the principles of God's Word, then you take it out and you apply it to the details of your life, to your marriage, your home, your kids, your family, your work, your job, college, school. You know, there's a million different applications. So you got to take the Bible and you got to take these principles and take them with you. That's why we give you this. Very few churches do this. We give you the message so you can take it home, study it, really hide it in your heart so that it becomes part of you, then you take that thing and live it out. See, and that's the whole idea, and that's why we go to church, is so we can grasp what God's Word is saying to us and then apply it, see, to those details. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Titus, and he wrote it to Titus, okay? Thus the name Titus. And Titus was a young preacher that Paul left on, does anybody remember? He left him on the island of Crete. That's right, it's in the Mediterranean Sea. Left him on the island of Crete, said, man, I want you to straighten out the churches there. Get them functioning, get them up and going properly. And in chapter 1, we saw that he dealt with leadership. Man, you got to have strong leadership or the church isn't going to go anywhere. You know, you got to have leadership, godly leadership. People, you got to have leaders that know this book and know how to teach it. But then, when we come into chapter 2, if you look at that with me, verse 1, he tells Titus, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Take the sound doctrine. The sound doctrine's just your beliefs, your teaching. Take the doctrine, take the beliefs, take the teaching of this book and teach it to people. And then he talks about the aged, mature saints in verses 2 and 3. Now, let me ask you a question. Now think about this question. Who do you feel would be best qualified to provide an example for younger men in the Lord? Can anybody tell me? Who would be the logical people that would be the best to provide a godly example for a young person in the Lord? Good. Yeah, an older person in the Lord. And it could be a lot of different. It could be somebody at church. It could be parents, whatever. But yeah, somebody older in the Lord. Right. Now, let me ask you another question. I think more of you will get this one right. Who is best qualified to teach young women in the Lord? There you go. Boy, we got a sharp group here. Amen. Young women in the Lord. I mean, older women in the Lord. Older women in the Lord that have some maturity on them. They've walked with the Lord for a while. They're not new at this thing. They've been in the race a while. And so these older, mature saints over here, they are to teach the younger ones. And that's what the idea of this text is. In verses 2 and 3, he talks about the aged men and the aged women. And verse 4 says that they, the aged women, may be able, or may teach, rather, the young women. In your handout, it says that the mature saints are supposed to be setting a godly example for the younger saints, and the younger saints are supposed to be following it. Now, are y'all with me? I know it's rainy and dreary, but are you with me? You see, it's got to go both ways. It doesn't do any good for the older saints to set a godly example if the young people won't listen, won't look. And it doesn't do any good for the young people to look to the older people as an example if the older people never grew up in the Lord and they're still overgrown babies. See, it works both ways. But the idea of the text is, you got these older saints that really have got something in their life. They're demonstrating the grace of God. So what do? They, through their godly example and teaching, teach the young men. And they teach the young women how to walk with Christ, how to demonstrate the grace of God in your daily life. Man, young people today, wow. And by the way, when I talk about young people here, I'm not just talking about teenagers this morning. I'm talking about young adults, single adults, young adults with kids at home. Young people today desperately need some mature, godly role models if they're going to understand how the Christian life is to function in this wicked world. They've got to be taught some sound doctrine. They've got to be taught a solid belief system. But what a blessing then when they can see that lived out in somebody else's life. Amen. What a blessing when they can hear it taught and then see it lived. Amen. See, that's the idea of this text. If you are a young man or you are a young lady, now I'm going to let you determine that, okay? Young to one is not young to another, amen? It's all relative, folks. But if you are, what I'm saying, you're young, you've still got kids at home maybe, and are teenagers at home, and you've got, maybe you're a single adult, a teenage girl, a teenage boy. Listen, this is God's Word to you. Listen, this is not Dan Proctor, it's God's Word. Don't blow it off. Don't take it lightly. God is going to tell you, young woman, how you demonstrate the grace of God in your life. Young man, God's going to tell you how you demonstrate the grace of God in your life. And did you know in your handout it says that you beautify the Word of God and the gospel of grace when your life reflects the teachings of these verses that we're about to study? The verses that we're about to dive into here in a minute, this is how you demonstrate the grace of God. That's what God's going to tell you. It's not a rule list. What He's saying is, when this sound doctrine gets inside of you and the grace of God lives in you, when that grace of God begins to live through you and out of you, this is what it's going to look like. This is how it's going to show up in your life. And He's saying, look, when you, He's kind of, you take a Christmas tree and you bring it in your house, and man, it's barren, it's kind of ugly, it's just like, ugh, man, that tree looks nasty. But boy, when you start to put some lights on it and some ornaments on it and different things, boy, it just, you beautify it. You know what the Bible says here? If you look down at verse 10, He says here, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn. That word adorn there means to beautify. You adorn, you beautify the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Did you know you take the doctrine of this book, you take the teaching of this book, and when you go out and you demonstrate the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in your daily life, then the Bible says you beautify, you adorn the doctrine of God. You take the teaching of God, and you take the grace of God, and you adorn it, and you make it look beautiful. By living it out, and demonstrating that grace. And He's going to tell you what it looks like right here. God gives the young people right here very clearly what the grace of God is going to look like in your life. Now, God give us some young people today who will dare to be different than what the world tells them they ought to be. I get so sick of this. The world wants to dictate everything to young people today. And I'm talking about from my age group. I got teenagers and still relatively young children, all the way down to you teenagers out here. And I mean, the world wants to tell us everything. It wants to tell us, you know, what's cool and what's not. It wants to dictate our actions and our attitudes. It wants to dictate the brand name of clothes we wear, the way we wear our hair. It wants to dictate everything in our life. And the world has this mold that they think that young people ought to fit into, and the world tries to shove our young people into this mold to where all the young people fit into this cultural mold. You know what? God give us young people who will say today, I don't care what the world's mold is. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the world says, how I ought to conduct my home. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to live my life in demonstration of the grace of God and of the sound doctrine I've received. I'm going to believe this book. And I'm going to trust that God knows what He's talking about. And I'm going to live out this book. That's what we need today. We need some young people, that kind of backbone. Now that we need some backbone, and let me tell you something, I got to have backbone to preach what I'm going to preach today. Because what I'm going to preach isn't popular. And you're not going to hear it on the 6 o'clock news. And you're not going to see it in the world's magazines. I'm going to give you what God says. Okay, let's look at verse 4 and let's look at it. It says, let's study here. How do young women demonstrate the grace of God? Young ladies, how do you demonstrate the grace of God in your life? Verse 4. That they, now the they is those mature ladies in the Lord, those ladies who have walked with the Lord for a while. They know what it is to walk with Christ. They may teach the young women. Number one, the young women to be what? Sober. Now I'm gonna combine two of these for time's sake. If you go down to verse 5, the very first one there is to be discreet. Now in your handout, I combined them. What does it mean to be sober and discreet? They kind of go together. Here it is. You ready? These are young ladies that think biblically, which results in sound judgment. In other words, these young ladies, they think in line with the godly examples of older women in the Lord that they're watching. Their thinking is in line with the sound doctrine that they've received, and their thinking is in line with that sound doctrine and in line with the godly examples of older women they've seen live it out. And so that's where they go. That's where their thinking comes from. Young ladies that he's talking about here, their thinking doesn't come from Cosmopolitan, Vanity Fair, Teen Magazine, or Britney Spears. Let me tell you something. If your thinking comes from there, it's not according to this. Britney Spears is a messed up young lady. Let me tell you something, there's a lot of young girls idolizing her, and they don't realize that, you know what, Britney Spears, she'll lead you right off the cliff with her. You've got to understand something. I'm not just picking on her. I mean, there's a ton of them out there like that. But what, you see, the young lady that demonstrates the grace of God, you know what she does? Her line is in thinking with the Bible. She thinks biblically about life. Therefore, you know what she does? She makes good decisions and sound judgments in her life. Number two, he says there in verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands. That's pretty simple. Love your husband. That's a priority in this woman's life. A young woman who demonstrates the grace of God, there ain't no doubt about it, that she loves her husband. In your handout, it says in Genesis 2, 18 through 24, and we're not going to take time to go back and study that right now, but I put it there so you could go study it this week, because I know all of you are going to go home and do that. All right? In Genesis 2, 18 through 24, the woman's creation by God, when God created a woman, it both exposed a great need within man and at the same time fed it. There was a weakness in man. There was a need in man, Adam. And so what did God do? God created Eve, and God met that need. Only a woman could meet that need. Amen, ladies? Amen. The animals couldn't meet the need. The beautiful garden couldn't meet the need. He had a job, man. I mean, he could, you know, he had quite a job, and that's to tend the garden. He had animals, you know, for companionship, and he had a job, man, where he could go out and do this job, you know, and he had all the beauty of the garden around him, beautiful landscape, beautiful luscious fruit, and all these things, but it wasn't enough. Bible says that there was something still just not right. He needed something, and God created woman. Let me tell you something, ladies. Without your love and your focus and your attention and your encouragement, your husband will have glaring, glaring gaps in his life. You listen to me, ladies. Now, I know I'm not, you know, 85 years old, okay, but I'm also not a spring chicken either. And I've been married for 20 years, and I'm going to tell you something right now. Your husband needs your love more than you will ever know. He needs your love. He needs your unconditional love and devotion more than you will ever, ever, ever understand in this life. in your handout, it says a woman's unconditional love and support is energizing to any man. And I said in the morning service, it's like the energizing bunny, you know. Remember that bunny? You know, that would, and I couldn't remember what it was. I thought it was Duracell, but they corrected me and said it was something else. Ever-ready. That's it. Ever-ready. Energizer. Or whatever it is. All right. I don't know. You guys are getting me off track here. But no, let me tell you something. Let me be serious. Ladies, quite frankly, what I've seen just in my little world, okay, and I've seen of other preachers, I've seen men in the ministry, quite frankly, it's the difference maker many times. A woman can make or break her husband. Absolutely. I've seen it over and over and over again. She can make him, or man, I mean, she can break him. She can whittle him down to where she literally sucks the life right out of him. One of the things that my kids will tell you, my three boys, they were in the 9:30 service. And one of the things my three boys will tell you, I have one that's going to turn 18 this year, and then 10 and 8. And when we sit around the supper table, one of the conversations that it constantly goes back to, I mean, I harp on, they could, in fact, they started repeating it in the 9:30 service, you know. One of the things I constantly harp on them and tell them about, the most important big-time decision you will ever make that will literally, it will make or break you outside of your salvation is going to be the choice of who you say I do to. And I hammer that all the time. And I tell them all the time at the supper table, I'll say, boy, isn't this a delicious meal your mother made? Boy, don't y'all hope you can get somebody like her? Yes, sir. Isn't that roast beef good? Yes, sir. How about them mashed potatoes and gravy? How about that homemade bread? I'm just doing that to torture you guys. I mean, you know, that's not in the message, all right? But I mean, we're sitting around there eating that, and I'll say, hey, guys, you know why mom does all this? Why? She loves us. She sure does. That's why she takes good care of us. That's why she makes sure we eat good meals like this, because she loves us so much. And I tell them all the time, I say, guys, let me tell you something. Before you marry that little gal and say, I do, I said, let me tell you something. You marry some little old gal who is selfish, self-centered, and just a spoiled brat, and you boys are in for a long, long haul. Yep, man. I do. I tell them that all the time. I said, let me tell you something right now. Life will be an uphill climb for you if you marry some little old gal who is just self-centered. It's all about her, and, you know, you're in for a long road, partner. I tell them that all the time, constantly. You see, ladies, you love your husband just by being there, being available, giving him time, giving him energy, giving him priority, providing thought and creativity to building him up, keeping him accountable when he is drifting off track, but you're there for him in love to try to, you know, say, hey, you know, I think you're getting off track here. But ladies, I'm telling you, make or break him. Love your husband. Love. He says the older women teach the younger women to love their husbands. Number three, to love their children. You know, young children need tremendous doses of personal attention and support and love. And in your handout, I want you to get two things that children desperately need. Number one, they need training. Look with me at the screen. Proverbs 29, I'm sorry, if we can go to the, can we go to that please, the next one? Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he's not depart from it. You know, kids need training. Amen? You know, if kids don't get training, that's, you know, when you see a kid acting like a brat out in the store, don't blame him. Blame the parents. They're the ones to blame. You see some kid having a fit out in the parking lot because he didn't get what he wanted, don't blame him. Blame the parents. Okay? That's the one. Don't think, well, that little brat. And I'll just say, well, those stupid parents. That's what you need to say. I mean, not out loud. All right. Don't say that out loud. But I mean, you see what I'm saying? You don't blame the kid. Kids need training. Amen. And look at the next one here. Look at the next verse. The rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left what? To himself bringeth his mother to shame. Healthy, normal child development requires a close, loving relationship with at least one person during the formative years of that child's life. Titus 2 teaches the mother should provide that. Now, we don't live in a perfect world. Sometimes mama can't do that. Maybe mama got sick or mama died. Maybe mama's not there, okay? And I understand things happen. Praise the Lord for someone who will, you know, stand in the gap in place of mama. But the point is, if mama can be the one, it needs to be mama. You see, listen, young ladies, let me encourage you. You can take it for what it's worth. If you don't like it, forget it. But let me just encourage you to at least think about it. Just entertain this thought and see if it makes any sense, okay? Career opportunities will always be there, but your children only grow up once. Now think about it. Don't tune me out and don't get mad. Listen, can you afford to forego that once-in-a-lifetime investment? When you're old, and it's coming, baby, the beauty's fading, and you're gonna retire, and that job's not gonna be there, and they're gonna replace you with some young gal, and the company's gonna keep right on going without you. And when you're old and you're sitting around the house and you wish, well, I wish my kids would come around a little bit. Boy, I wish they'd bring my Listen, if you want your kids to be around when you're old, and if you want your grandkids to be around when you're old, you know what? If you want them to be there for you when you're old and shuffling around, then you be there for them when they're young. Now think about that thing. Think about that thing. You're not always going to have your job, but your kids are always going to be there. And they're going to have kids, and that's going to be your grandkids. It's going to outlive your job. Think about it. Career opportunities will be there. Your kids only grow up once. Why? Think about it. You say, well, if I didn't work, you know what? A lot of times, here's the sad thing. When you don't work, guess what? You can't live in the house you're living in. You can't drive what you're driving. And you can't maybe eat out 3 times a week or whatever it is. But I'll tell you this much, it's worth it. Amen. It's worth it. Whatever sacrifice you have to make, it's worth it for you to see their first steps, for you to hear their first words, for you to be there for all those momentous times, for mama to provide that constant training, attention, love. Nobody's going to love your kid like you. Amen? Amen? Let's just be honest. You know, I don't care who you hand your kid off, nobody's going to love them like you do. Nobody. Just thought I'd throw that in. Because the Bible says, love your children. Look at it with me. Verse 4. That they may teach the young women to be sober. Notice it says to love their husbands, to love their children. We'll go through these quickly. Verse 5. To be discreet, chaste. In your handout, it just says they're examples of purity to their husbands and children. You protect your home from trash. I'm talking about the world's trash and garbage. You protect your home. You're chaste. You're an example of purity to your husband and your children. Look at the next one. Boy, now this goes against culture. Keepers at home. Now, listen, in your handout it says, this means that she diligently keeps the home operating and functioning properly. Denise is the glue that keeps our home stuck together. I'm telling you, Denise keeps that thing functioning and going. When she's down, it's just not right, you know? And because she keeps things rolling. She's the one that makes sure, you know, and again, I help her, but she's the one that thinks of it and makes sure that the kids are eating nutritiously, that the kids are getting proper sleep and rest, if the kids' foreheads are hot, if the kids' head stinks, she's the one that notices that, you know, and says, you've got to shampoo that head, you know, and she's the one that notices if, you know, they're coming up through puberty and their armpits smell and stuff and tells them you need... I'm being serious. She notices that stuff. She's the one that keeps our home functioning. She keeps it running. She keeps it... She takes pride in that. Where are women who take pride in that today, you know? Man, I praise God for women who do. 1 Timothy 5:14. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. See? And give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. It's the woman who guides that home. Homes need a lady's touch. See? And God says that women need to do that. They need to provide that. The next thing there he says is, and by the way, I wish I had time. I'm just running so short on time. But sometime do a study of Proverbs 31. What an awesome passage. In fact, I think I got this on PowerPoint. Let me bring it up. This is talking about the virtuous woman, the woman who's virtuous and her price is far above rubies. One of the things it says about the virtuous woman is she looketh well to the ways of her household. That's big time right there, ladies. She looks well. I mean, she takes it serious. You know, and I mean, every time, you know, when I open up my drawer and I see, boy, you know, there it is, it's full again, you know. And I just thank God for Denise. And I think, wow, I don't know how she does it, you know. There's that drawer full again, you know. I think, wow, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Oh, man, she's a hard worker. She's strong. She keeps that home functioning properly. And then look at Titus 2, verse 5, and I love this. It says, to be discreet, chaste keepers at home, and then it just says, good. I love that, good. You know, we need some women who are just good. In your handout, it says, her husband knows that he can trust her. He knows he can trust her. Man, he can bank on it. The heart of her husband. Listen to this. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. You know, you look at that and it says women are to be, the young women are to be good. You think, well, that's kind of simplistic. What's the opposite? Bad. And we got a lot of young women today who are bad. They're rotten. They say that young women can out-cuss men at school now. They're rotten in their language and rotten in their attitude and rotten in their clothing and rotten in their spirit and rotten in their actions. And God says, you know what? When a young woman's full of the grace of God, she's good. She's good. And then the next thing, it says there in verse 5, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. In your handout, what does that mean? God has given husbands the responsibility to be the spiritual leaders of their homes. This doesn't mean that he can boss you around. It doesn't mean you have to be his doormat, ladies. A godly woman is a strong woman. Let me say that again. A godly woman is a strong woman. In Proverbs 31, it says that she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, strengtheneth her arms. It says in verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Denise, my wife, was telling one of our young ladies who is not married yet, she was talking to her, and she said, you know what? Because my wife's a strong woman. She can make decisions and make choices, and she's strong, and she's smart, and she's intelligent. And she told this young lady, she said, you know, she said, I knew I wanted to marry a man that I couldn't boss around. Now, you say, what do you mean? Well, in other words, she just wanted a man who would provide leadership for her. You know, in all the years, 20 years we've been married, she told this girl, she said, never one time in 20 years has Dan ever told me that I had to follow him or obey him. I'm the head of this home. You will listen to me. Guys, if you have to say that, you've already lost it. Okay? I mean, it's gone. You're just wasting your breath. Forget it. Just take that billy club of the Bible and just go ahead and just put it right back in the holster, because that ain't going to work, all right? Listen, never one time in 20 years have I told her, you got to follow me. You see, when it says obedient to your husband, it means he provides godly spiritual leadership for the home, which we're going to get to in a minute here. And in your handout, it simply means that she allows him to lead and fulfill that God-given role. That's all it means. You let him lead. You let him be what God called him to be, ladies. And that's God called him to be the leader of the home, spiritually. And you let him be that leader. You don't demean him publicly. You'd never dream of trying to demean your husband or gossip about him with the ladies at the coffee table. You'd never dream of disrespecting him in front of the kids. You respect him. And as young ladies demonstrate the grace of God, you know what they do? He says there they bring honor to God. They bring honor to His Word. And you know what happens when young ladies, when your life reflects the worldly culture that we live in? You cause the Word of God to be ridiculed and blasphemed, the Bible says. Young ladies, will you dare to be different? Will you honor God with your life? You say, well, what about the men? All right, let's look at the men. Verse 6, real quickly. Verse 6, young men, likewise exhort to be sober-minded. What does that mean? In your handout, it means that they are serious about God and His Word. You got young men here, see, that are sober-minded. They're serious about God. They're serious about the Word. And this attitude that they have about God and about the Word results in what? They make good, sound judgments. You've heard the expression, boy, he's got his head screwed on straight. These young men got their head screwed on straight. They make good decisions and they make good choices. Why? They're sober-minded. They're serious about God. They're serious about the Word. They got their nose in this book. And they know what God, they know what God's doing in the world today. They know that the world lies in wickedness. They understand the culture. They understand the world. They understand what God says about it all. And they're sober-minded. Next thing, verse 7, in all things, he tells the young men, showing thyself a pattern of good works. What does that mean? In your handout, it means their lives are examples that others can look at and follow. Did you know young ladies have no trouble following the leadership of a man like this? You know why? Because these young men have earned their respect. Because they're a pattern of good works. Hey, guys, when we're a pattern of good works, there's a pattern at work here. And we're the same person at work as we are at home, as we are at church, as we are in life group, as we are on the ball team, as we are at the gym. There's a pattern here. There's a pattern of good works. And we're examples to our family of this. Well, that's important. God give us young men of integrity. Integrity. It means that integrity means a wholeness, that their life is whole, that they're not one person here and one person here and one person there. There's integrity. They're a pattern of good works. Next thing, look with me. Verse 7, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. What does that mean? It means they're men of the Word. Whew, man, I like that. These guys, he saw, young men, be men of the Word. Have a solid belief system in your life because you study this book. You got a teachable spirit. You got a spiritual appetite. You're hungry for spiritual truth. And so you're in the book and the book's in you. And because it's in you, you're living it out in your relationships and in your life. Sound speech. Verse 8, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. In your handout, it says when they talk, they're truthful and they minister grace. Boy, there's nothing that will destroy your wife's respect for you like when you start lying to her. Boy, when you start lying, you do so much damage to your wife's respect for you. The Bible says speaking the truth in love. Ephesians 4:15. Look at this verse. Ephesians 4:29. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Notice that it may minister grace unto the hearers. When you talk, you minister grace to your wife. When you talk, you minister grace to your kids. When you talk, you minister grace. Others may not like what you say, but they can't deny the truth of it, and they can't deny the love in which it was spoken. My kids don't always like what I say. You know what I mean? They don't always like what I say, because sometimes I have to say things to them that are the truth. But they can't deny the truth of it, nor the love and the compassion with which it's spoken. That's the idea here. Sound speech. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. And you know what? I said this in the early service, and I'm going to repeat it. 90% of the time, and it may seem like, you know, this morning, well, just, you know, you talked about the women more than the men or whatever. I don't know. But here's the deal. I want to just balance that out and say this. 90% of the time when homes have friction and trouble and things are falling apart and things are crazy, 90% of the time it goes back to the man. He's not being the leader God's called him to be. He's not providing godly leadership. There's not that sound speech. There's not that love for the book. There's not that sober-mindedness where he knows God and he knows the book and he knows what he believes and he lives it out in his life. There's not that pattern of good works. But when young men demonstrate the grace of God in this way, their wives and their children have no trouble whatsoever following their leadership. None whatsoever. When you're demonstrating the grace of God as revealed here, this is what it looks like when it shows up. Boy, I tell you what, your wife, your children, they have no problem following that. No problem whatsoever. Many times our homes get in trouble because you know what happens? And I know just as sure as I'm standing here right now and the sun is shining. Can you believe that? But just as sure as I'm standing here, there are people out here, young people, that think that is old-fashioned, that is stupid, that is ignorant, I don't care what he says, that is a bunch of baloney. And my answer to that is, then do it your way. You do it the way culture tells you. You do it the way the world tells you. But I'm going to warn you of one thing. 10 years from now, we'll see the fruit of your way. I can tell you right now, when you do it God's way, it's the right way. Amen. And it'll work. This is right. So think whatever you want to. This is right. And if you're thinking, now hear me, if your thinking is contrary to this, guess what? Either you're wrong or God's wrong. You're wrong, my friend. Now, I love you, and I speak with love and compassion, but you're wrong. You see, God calls us to align our thinking with this. And what God wants us to do is to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. God wants us to change our thinking. God wants us to be transformed, not conformed, but transformed by the renewing of our mind. So here's what we need to do. Where our thinking is not in line with this, we realign our thinking and say, wow, okay, I thought that, I was raised that way, that's what culture's told me, but now I see it here, I was wrong, this is right. That's what we need to do, that's all. Just admit it, just say, you know what, that's right. That's God's Word. And if God says this is how I demonstrate His grace, then this is how I demonstrate His grace. If God says this should be priorities in my life, then this should be priorities in my life. See, that's all it is. It's just a humble spirit where we take God's Word and we realign our thinking according to God's Word. And I told you at the beginning of the message that I was going to have backbone to preach it. But you know what? I will unashamedly tell you this is the Word of God. It's in the Bible, and if it's in the Bible, we're going to teach it. Amen? That's just the way that is. Because this is the right way to build a life and a home and a family. This is the right way. Okay? This will work here. Hey, let me tell you something. This will work. Okay? And in your handout, it says, what a blessing it is to see young people who are living demonstrations of the grace of God. They're serious about the Lord, and it shows, and they dare to be different, and they refuse to fit the world's mold. They say, yeah, the world's mold is this, but I'm not going to fit in the world's mold. I'm going to demonstrate God's grace. In your handout, at the bottom is a verse. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Do you know how we overcome the wicked one? Look at that verse. How do we overcome the wicked one? How do you overcome Satan's lies to you about how to conduct your life, your family, your marriage, your children? How do you overcome the wicked one? The Word of God abideth in you. This book is how we do it. And again, I want to reiterate one thing and I'm done. Listen, young men and young women, this is not a list for you to live up to. Let me take my list home. Okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. No, here's the deal. You take it, you hide it in your heart, but then God's grace, which you're filled with the grace of God, you love the Lord, you're filled with His grace, Christ is living through you. This is how it's revealed. This is how it's demonstrated. This is how it shows up. See? Ladies, your first priority is loving your husband and loving your children. That's number one, you know. And men, you're sober-minded. You love that book. You know what you believe, why you believe it. You got sound speech. You are a pattern of good works. These things show up naturally as you grow in grace and as God's grace is demonstrated through your life. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, thank You for Your Word. Lord, I just thank You that it's true. We can trust it. We know it's right. We know we don't have to at all worry about You telling us something wrong or leading us astray. I pray that there'll be young men and young women all over this building that will realign their thinking to Your Word. Lord, that we will allow our mind to be transformed and that we'll realign our thinking to where our thinking processes are guided by the sound doctrine of Your Word. And Lord, as our thinking processes are guided by the sound doctrine of Your Word, then we live it out and we apply it in the details of our life. So we love You now and pray You'll bless Your Word mightily here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to